Let's get started this morning if I can get some readers. Our main text is 1 Samuel 18, 13 through 16. If you'll get that for me, David. Then if I can get 1 Samuel 18, 13. Antonio, if you'll get that. 1 Samuel 18, 14. Jericho, you read that. Then the second time, 1 Samuel 18, 13. Ryan, if you'll get that, and that's the second time. 1 Samuel 18, 16. Get that for me. A couple more here. 1 Samuel 18, 14 through 15. Vince, if you'll read that. And then 1 Samuel 18, 14. Gilbert, if you'll get that. Okay, so I've heard, and maybe you guys have heard this comment made, Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Greg have said it from time to time, is that I shake the hands of people that I know have been talking bad about me. Okay? So this is an example here. You know, you hear that, and it's not, you know, to get at people. That's a statement and an example about behaving wisely with people. See, no matter the facts of a situation, right? Many times we focus if someone offends us or if someone we feel crosses us or, right? We look at the facts and say, well, now I get to act a certain way or treat them a certain way because. But it's important to always consider as a disciple and as a man of God, you're going to be in ministry one day. It's important to always consider what is best for the situation, for the people involved, and ultimately what is best for the kingdom. Okay, so in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, David, the Bible says he behaves wisely even when he isn't the one at fault. And so let's look at this. We're going to just pick up a little part of the story. 1 Samuel 18, 13 through 16.
Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them.
Okay, behaving wisely. Let's lay a foundation. Let's think firstly about it's complicated. I mean, understand that life is full of complications. There are situations where you will be confronted with things that simply aren't easy. You'll step into situations and circumstances and have to navigate through issues that are complicated. In other words, there are things that are filled with all kinds of variables. There's numbers of people involved, maybe friends or family, people in ministry, you know, all these different factors. And it's complicated. Not every problem in life is black and white. Right? Where okay, I can make a judgment. This is an easy solution. I figured this out. Sometimes you have to look at the bigger picture. So in our text, think about this. The context, David is serving a king, right? Remember, a God-ordained king, a God-pronounced king. He's put him in a place, he's in a position of authority over him. And this king has become jealous of him, right? Just before where we read, they've gone into battle, and upon returning, the song that the congregation sings is Saul has slayed his thousands. Verse 1 is beautiful, but verse 2, and David his 10,000s, right? And so this has caused envy and a jealousy. And so now you have this king, you have this person of authority over him. You have this man who literally holds David's life in his hands, and he's playing mind games with him. He's manipulating him. He's moving him around, right? Keeping things unsettled and unstable. 1 Samuel 18, 13.
Therefore, Saul removed from him And made him his captain over 1,000.
Okay.
And went out and came in before the people.
Okay, so here Saul removed him from his presence and made him captain over that. This is after he's moved him from somewhere else. This is after he's brought him back into his presence. Oh, no, now I want you out. So here, David has to process this situation, and it's complicated. Right? There's a lot of variables. There's a lot of factors to consider. So we will encounter complicated situations, but what you have to remember in life is that complicated situations can be helpful to us. Number one is complicated situations, they can reveal to us where we are really at. Right? Sometimes in life and in salvation as disciples, we have these ideas. We can theorize how we would react to certain things or what our response would be in certain situations until we find ourselves in them. And you recognize and you realize it's complicated. We can look from the outside in on a situation and say, no, I wouldn't do it that way. You know, I wouldn't act like that. You know, I wouldn't be so hard on that person if they did that. You know, I wouldn't act so light on that person if... Until you realize you're in the situation and it's complicated. There's a lot of factors and you can get a revelation of where you are really at. So they can help us that way. Secondly, they can bring things that are in us to the surface. Sometimes complicated circumstances pull out or bring to the surface things in us. Right? Again, in ministry, you can be functioning and even have a measure of success in salvation. You can be making good choices and working things through. But when you encounter complications in life, maybe there are areas you thought you worked on, right? Pastor Greg often says discipleship isn't a checklist. Oh, check the box. People problems, check, work through that one, you know. Dealt with someone gossiping me, check, you know. No. Sometimes you think I've worked through that, but down the road, you realize maybe there's still something in there. Or areas you didn't realize that you were weak. And they rise up, they come to the surface in complicated situations. You think, I dealt with anger, but now you're facing it again. Or, I wouldn't have a problem with forgiveness. But in a complicated situation, you're dealing with unforgiveness or bitterness or your pride. You recognize you're just as not as humble as you thought you were, right? Or your trust. You realize, man, I have a hard time trusting God in complicated situations. So they can bring things to the surface. Thirdly, is that complicated situations can give us experience. Experience. Nobody hopes to go through stuff. Right? No, if you do, you have a problem. I remember getting a word from one of our evangelists, Evangelist Bowman, actually. This was back when I was in Santa Fe. And he said these words that always stuck with me. In order to gain experience, you will have to go through some things. You know, that's not a very pleasant word, right? But God's going to put something into you. And that's true. That is so true in the complicated situations of life, in navigating the complicated circumstances of ministry, in working through and processing right complications. They can actually be very instructive. And they can be critical. In other words, they can critique you. If you'll listen and see the critical feedback that life is giving you, complicated situations can teach us what doesn't work. Right? There's some people in complicated situations, they handle them the exact same way every time. And what is usually the outcome? Not good. Right? But what doesn't work, but what does work? And so here you can navigate and they can give you experience. So here's David. He's a disciple in a complicated situation. This is a mess of a situation. This is so many variables, so many things at work, people above him, people below him. And the Bible tells us his reaction. 1 Samuel 18:14.
And continued to be successful in all his activities.
Okay, so another translation says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. In other words, David cautiously worked through that situation. David patiently worked through that situation. David took the time to listen before he spoke. David took the time to consider all the variables because it's complicated. So let's think secondly about our response. So where many men fail in the complicated circumstances that life deals, where they fail is they approach life only based on facts and data. This is what's going on. This is what they did, or this is what they're doing. This is what they said. This is what they're saying. And so in our text, Saul, think about this. This man is, the king is mentally unstable. He's making decisions based on envy and fear. He's backsliding in his heart. And so some would say David has a right to act a certain way. David has a right to respond negatively against Saul because Saul is being unfair, because Saul is unstable, because Saul isn't right, because Saul is rebellious, because Saul has the issue, not me. But that isn't what he does. He behaves wisely. So there's consequences, negative consequences, when men respond only based on data and facts. There's negative consequences. In ministry, I've seen pastors respond to situations based only on facts and data. This is what happened. This is the judgment. This is what we do. You know what? Number one is they're going to wind up hurting themselves. Think about this. This event that we're reading is recorded for all eternity. We're referencing back thousands of years about someone's people skills in a situation, about someone's ability to process life. David actually helps, number one, himself by behaving wisely. In doing this, in not just reacting, in not just doing what maybe even he would be justified, number one, he's helping people to believe in him. He's helping people to rally behind him. He was, in that moment, helping his future. You guys understand, your decisions today are going to impact your future when you get out. Your response to people today is going to impact your future tomorrow. I cannot tell you how many times, in taking over Santa Fe or in taking over Rochester, how many times my testimony went ahead of me. You have to consider this to behave yourself wisely. You will help yourself or you will hurt yourself. And again, too often, guys hurt themselves because they've ruined their own credibility because they cannot behave wisely, or they will not behave wisely in situations. Secondly, not only will they hurt themselves, they'll hurt others. David saw that people would be impacted by his decisions. Right? Do you consider in situations and circumstances, who is going to be impacted by this? Your wife is going to be impacted by your decisions. Your children are going to be impacted by your decisions. Your converts are going to be impacted by your decisions. Maybe one day your church is going to be impacted by your decisions. Let's read 1 Samuel 18:13.
Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people.
Okay, so think about this scripture here. Here's the complicated situation. Here's all the variables, but David behaved wisely, and it helped others. You can hurt others by just making choices based on facts and decision, or you can help others. He helped 1,000 that he was over, and he was in and out before the people. This is, people are observing his life. Let's read 1 Samuel 18:16.
But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them.
Okay, all of Israel and all of Judah. We're talking about masses of people that are observing his life. And so here, in the complicated situation, I'm behaving wisely and my decision is impacting other people. My decision is, right, in life, you will either be an example or an excuse for other people. You will either be their example and something to strive for, or you're going to be their excuse. Will so-and-so act like this? Will so-and-so talks this way? And they're a Prescott disciple. And they're in ministry. And they're a pastor. Right? You have to consider, who am I helping? And who am I hurting? And so this is why behaving wisely matters. Thirdly, is if you are unwilling to behave wisely in life, you could hurt the kingdom. Right? The point I want to make here, right? I started, you'll help yourself, you'll help others, and you could help the kingdom. Life is bigger than just you. And many times people, they hurt the kingdom because I have a right, because they've treated me this way, because they said this, and they wind up hurting more than they should. And so David sees there is more involved here. There is more at stake than what I think. There's more going on here than what I see. There's more at work than how I feel. He's thinking, how is my reaction to the circumstances, to the complicated situation, how is this going to impact God's will? How is this going to impact God's people as a whole? How is this going to impact God's work, God's movement in the earth, right? This is very critical. We consider our lives are much bigger than ourselves. And when we behave wisely, we can help or hurt the kingdom. And so this is very critical. David's response was that he behaved wisely. Let's close. Let's think about behaving wisely. The wisdom of David's example is this. He is concerned about the greater outcome and the greater good. That's wisdom. I'm concerned with the kingdom. I'm concerned with other people and how they're able to process or not process. 1 Samuel 18:14-15.
And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him.
Okay, so here, think about this. His behavior, his response, it stood out to the people. They recognize, right? David, God is with him. God is helping him because he can process life right. That's identifiable. It's observable. Then the person, right, creating the complications, we could say Saul, it stands out to him, right? He was afraid of him because he is processing life right. And so here, you don't have to execute revenge on everyone who crosses you in life. You don't have to demand people have a Jesus moment in every time they've hurt you in life. They come, oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. How could I be so ignorant, foolish towards you? You know, they're not going to have those. Even if the facts, quote unquote, justify you, part of leadership ability is being able to process some wrongs for the greater good. For the greater, that's why Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Greg could say, I shake the hands of people that I know. Because there's a greater good at work. They absolutely understand eternity. Pastor Greg understands eternity, and that's right, that's why we're here, is to see that people get to heaven. But if you are gonna respond and react based on preference and your opinion and your pride, it's not gonna work out in the long term. And so here, part of leadership is being able to behave wisely, and it was observable to people. It was an identifiable mark. Most importantly, though, in behaving wisely, God honors it. God honors it. 1 Samuel 18:14.
David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him.
Okay. He behaved wisely, and what was the result? God was with him. God was at work for him. I'm going to tell you right now, you will have to learn how to give some things to God. In ministry, you're going to have to learn how to give people to God. You're going to have to learn how to give situations and circumstances to God, because here, and this is a hope, God is the unseen observer in all of life. He is always taking note. And the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro, seeking those who are going to be diligent to him, who are going to obey his word, and he wants to reward that. And so here, the unseen observer, you can trust him. He's going to get to work in it. And here, David is greatly helped. It's a supernatural help because he's able to give people and situations to God. And he's allowing room for God to get to work for him. I'll tell you, I've personally seen God turn people supernaturally around because of this very issue of being able to behave wisely. I'm going to share two stories. One was a person in Santa Fe. They came to me one day and they said, Pastor, I need to repent. And I knew there was conflict there. They were not happy that I was there. They were very upset. They made it known, right? But I continued to focus on the things of God, focus on the work as a whole. And they came to me one day and they said, I need to repent because I have been speaking against you. In fact, I've been praying against you, that God would take you away. But I want to get my heart right. I want to ask you for forgiveness. I tell you, that was a supernatural thing. Right? I didn't execute World War III. Right? You know what? This isn't a me problem. Right? Them upset that I'm here, they have a problem with God. Because God brought me here. Right? And so God, I'm going to give them to you. Another one in Rochester was a very complicated situation. I can't even begin to get into the details, but nonetheless, another person was very upset that I was there, very vocal. I'm talking the first month of church, literally, hands crossed. And one day, man, I'm praying. The situation is complicated. I am laying hands on their chair. God, heal them. Heal their heart. And they came to me one day and they said, I want to repent. They said, and you probably knew it, was very upset that you were here. I did not agree with it. I was upset at the whole situation. And they said, but you know what? I want to repent. And I want to make you my pastor. I'm going to tell you, they became one of the most impactful and influential people, credibility for our ministry there in Rochester. Because you have to learn how to give it to God and behave wisely. And you're going to learn that. We're talking, right? We're talking takeovers and hard situations and complicated situations and hurts and paths of rebellion and all kinds of things, but you better learn how to do that here on the local level, right? To behave wisely and process conflict correctly and process different factors correctly so that when you go out, your testimony will go before you, right? Nobody wants to hear the announcement and into, oh, great, they're a jerk and now they're going to go win my family somehow, right? No. You want it to go ahead of you and that you behave wisely, that you have an ability to process life correctly. That's gonna speak on your behalf. And so this is very important for us to learn how to behave wisely. Okay. Any questions? Something you want to ask this morning?
Yeah. As soon as you introduced the subject, I immediately got the thought. And you can tell me if this is right or not. But would it also be a good idea, just because we don't know everything, it could be possible that there is no conflict at all. It's just all kind of in your head.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the devil's saying, oh, they hate you.
Absolutely. You know, that happens all the time. You know, sometimes you might talk to someone, you know, I feel like you've been upset with me. I want to get it right. And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay, yeah, right? So many times, absolutely, we can misinterpret, right? And that's why it's important to behave wisely, process things.
So later on, 1 Samuel 1, 24 and 26, David has those two times where he could have killed Saul. Once in the cave and then once where everyone's laying out and got the spear. Is that part of this? Is like sometimes we'll have the opportunity to like get them back and we have to say, because I mean, this is like David's leader.
Yeah.
Who's obviously behaving wrong. But is this part of like David having the heart after God's heart? Is that he's just like, I'm just going to do what's right no matter what someone does.
Yeah.
Saul was clearly wrong.
Yeah. So ultimately, what is he doing in that? He's giving the results to God, right? God, you're in charge of the results. I can try to take matters into my own hands. I have opportunity to, maybe even grounds, but I'm leaving the results to you, okay? And so in that situation, yeah, that's what he's doing. He's leaving the results to God. And then secondly, he's setting an example, right?
Because he speaks well to his men about
the exactly. God. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it doesn't mean, right, you never make a judgment in life, right? We understand there's balance here, but the point is being able to behave wisely and maintain your emotions, govern them, is very important. Very important. As a man of God and as a ministry, you're going to be confronted with that a lot, and you must govern it. Right? I've seen the pastor that operates on emotion in ministry. It's not a good scene. It's usually a very small church.
Have you found, like, with David, Saul tries to kill him, and then he goes back and trusts him after that, and then he tries to kill him again. Is that part of it, is saying, okay, you hurt me once, but I believe God that you can change?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And just kind of being patient with people.
Absolutely.
And suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. People, it's tragic, but many times they're going to take the same laps around the same mountains in life, right? And but, you know, again, there's a balance in that, right? There's certain judgments we have to make, but yeah, you have to be willing to, you know, work through them.
And trust that God can change.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
totally.
What is the balance of being a doormat and acting wise?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Again, you know, it's not that you never judge things, etc., but there's always a way to handle things wisely, right? So some people think, what's the difference of being a doormat and making a stand? Some people think making a stand is telling them, right, hey, you know, I don't appreciate the way you treated me, you know? And I'm taking a stand. I don't like the way you looked and talked to my wife. And I don't like the way you fill in blank. Right? Whatever it is, you didn't help the situation. Right? But you can go to someone and have a conversation. Hey, you know, help me understand why you responded this way. Help me understand how we can, you know, figure this out so that doesn't happen again. Right? I mean, you can have a conversation. But the point is, you have to be able to, again, maintain your testimony, what is best for the situation, and what is best for the kingdom. The problem is, people want to make a stand, but they tear down everything around them in the process. That's not helpful, right? David made stands all throughout this. He wasn't a doormat, but he did it wisely. He navigated with wisdom and considered others before himself. That's very important. That's a big key to this, considering others before yourself.
Would you say that part of being wise in situations like this with conflict is detaching your ego from you know, your ministry or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Confrontation or whatever.
Yeah, insecure men make insecure decisions, right? And so here, when you have a confidence in God, again, I knew God sent me there. Both those places. I knew God was involved. I have confidence God can help me, and I have confidence God can change them. Right? And when you allow God to get to work, that's a confidence in Him. Mm-hmm. So my ego's not on the line here.
Right?
I know who I am, and I know who I am in Christ, and He's going to help me. So yeah, absolutely. You have to be willing to remove your ego.
You mentioned you had some tough situations in churches that sounds like they were going out for a while before you were involved. So how did you mentally prepare yourself? Because you know you're
going to
be facing
those
people.
Yeah.
And you don't
want to... Absolutely. Prayer is key. You absolutely... Pastor Greg, and I'm paraphrasing here. This isn't exact, but he has said something along the lines of, I'm amazed at how Pastor Mitchell can get through intense... situations with his body still intact. In other words, he didn't lose in this. And that's because Pastor Mitchell has always said, because I have a relationship with God. You make it through because I have a relationship with God. I know who God is. And so prayer is absolutely key in this. Praying, obviously, for myself, that I will behave wisely and process it right. Praying for my family, right? I'm going to guard my words, right? Because, right, think about this. If I had talked bad about them to my wife, and then the moment they want to get right, but I injected negative things about them into my wife, hey, they wanted to get right. Oh, yeah, you know, that she's going to have a harder time, right? Because you've created that. So guarding your words, guarding those feelings, you know, guarding against that. And so prayer's key in all of that. Yep. And then ultimately praying for them. Like I said, I would lay hands on their seats. Because people usually sit in the same place, and I would pray, God, I pray, heal them. Heal their heart. Heal the situation. You know, and so that would, prayer is key. Yep.
If you've noticed in certain situations you regularly act poorly because of the heat of the moment, is there a way to, it seems like, been learning and trying, but when it comes right down to it, it all becomes crazy at the time, and I make the wrong decision, almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
In certain contexts.
Yeah, so if you recognize it, then that teaches you, right, how to pray. God, deal with it, whatever it is, right? If you turn into the rage monster, then God, I rebuke the spirit of rage over my life. And I'm asking for deliverance. If you turn into the master manipulator, right? You try to use words to make people bend to your will. You know, no, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to exercise witchcraft on people, right? Because that's what it is. God, I need you to help me. You know, fill in the blank. There's going to be tons of different things we do wrong in situations. But if you can identify it, pray. Then secondly, identify the steps of how you get there. How do I wind up here? I start not wanting to get there, but I get there. So you're going to have to look back and make changes, right? And so. Other questions on behaving wisely?
How do we make other people behave wisely? I pokes.
holy eye pokes, as Pastor Greg would say.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, Tony?
How would you get better in working on that without like sorting other people's problems or creating your own?
Yeah, don't sort out people's problems. You know, I often, you know, just in different conversations or working with people, I often tell them you can't change anybody, but you can pray that God will help them, you know, that God would encourage them and help them to recognize these areas, but you can't change anyone. And it's usually when you try to change people, you make it worse for yourself, right? So when I say give it to God, what does that mean? It means you pray it through. And when it comes to mind and you start having conversations with that person in your head, you need to stop the conversation in your head and you say, no, God, right now, I give them to you. I give the situation to you, right? And pray specifically, you know, that for healing, not God, strike them with lightning. No, got it. We need to resolve this, right? You pray God's will. Yep.
When you were talking about like prepare, like pray to be prepared for your destiny by not making bad decisions later in life, by if you work through them now. So would that be considered like be faithful with little and God will bless you with much?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're faithful with little situations,
yes,
then He will bless you later on where you know how to deal with
absolutely. Yeah, like I said, they will give you experience. You'd be amazed right now, guys, how much this season of your life, your discipleship, is preparing you for tomorrow. Right? And I look back, there are things as a disciple that prepared me for concert director. There were things in my concert director stage there of my ministry that prepared me for Santa Fe, things in Santa Fe that prepared me for Rochester, things in Rochester that have prepared me for today, and things of today that are preparing me for tomorrow. Okay? Oh, but you have to, this is critical, to behave wisely through it, to govern your emotions, to govern your words, your reactions. Absolutely. So, yeah. And each time, right, it was a bigger portion, you could say, right? It was moving up. Because, yeah, God, if He sees you can deal with it right, you can handle it, then He said, I know I can trust Him with more. Good. Very good. Yeah, David?
It seems like the way that you're talking about it, approaching it, is kind of like your catch, but when you're talking about
yeah, again, I think it comes back to identity, right? Knowing who you are in Christ. And again, knowing where you stand, absolutely, according to the Word of God. Right? Again, that's the thing about the Bible is, I wish I could give you a perfect formula here, you know, a perfect box and really, you know, wrapped really nice and say, this is how, these three steps, follow this algorithm. But the reality is you have to know the Word of God, right? And there's tensions that pull. There are times to make stands in judgments. There are times to deal with things more harsh than others. But ultimately, knowing what is best for the kingdom. That's the beauty here is David, in this, even though he wasn't king, he wasn't in charge, he's considering what is best for the kingdom as a whole. What is best for the future of the kingdom? What is best for the people that are involved, right? And so that's very important. What is best for everyone around you, right? What's going to help maintain the work, whatever it is, right? And so in detaching, and, you know, that's one way to put it, but I think it's more of a confidence issue. I'm confident who God is, and I'm confident, right, that He's going to resolve this so I can step back. It's not just about me. There's a lot of variables here, right? And so often, man, people get caught in the crossfires of people's preferences. And that's not acceptable. Yeah, Mark?
That's something I've always appreciated with our headship here and just personally with senior and then with Greg throughout the years, whenever, you know, anybody's going to go to their pastor when they have conflict or issues or anything, things in life. And over the years, the times that I have, you might find whatever the situation is, whether it's a money decision, a marriage thing, or whatever, you might find that you're emotionally charged when you go in there, and you, the flesh wants him to agree with you, or the headship to go, yeah, do this. Or, and so every time throughout all the years, it's not a detachment, it's a confidence in Christ. Because every time, and I'm so grateful for this senior and Pastor Greg, will point you to Jesus.
Yep.
They won't interject their emotion. They won't say, I think this. They just point you back to Christ and tell you to put your confidence in him.
Yeah.
And sometimes you leave going, man, I wanted him to agree with that. You know?
Yeah.
But you go back and you just... The meeting encourages prayer, which builds your own confidence in Christ,
right.
And you come to the right conclusion. So that's just something that I appreciate. But I'm glad we're not led by pastors that are emotional.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Very good.
So what you're teaching this morning is kind of the premise is this is like us dealing with someone in church, which is what the example that you used is. But you're saying like this is preparing us for whatever comes next. So we're pioneering or something and a new convert comes in and we have a conflict with a new convert. I've found in my life that I feel like I give new converts more grace than I do church people or family members or something like that.
Yeah.
Like screw you guys, but this new convert, I'll be like super with them. Oh, they're just a new convert. So is this is the way we need to view everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because at some point, the new convert is going to be like, dude, if you don't want to come to church, forget you then. I'm not coming to pick you up one more time and having you, you know, blow me off or something like that. So if I can't get this with people in church, I'm not going to be very good at following up and being fruitful because I'm going to treat everyone the same because it's all about my ego.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have to be willing to, right? The Bible says, dwell with one another with understanding. That's a truth in life, right? That's going to be true in your marriage. That's going to be true with your children. That's going to be true with your ministry. That's going to be true with people in church. That's going to be true on your job, right? Behaving wisely, right, we're looking at it in a ministry standpoint. This actually, behaving wisely is going to, it impacts all of life. And again, it comes back to the kingdom, right? What is best for the work of God? And so absolutely, this will bleed into every area of life.
So this is that truth intention where I'm gonna be patient, I'm gonna suppress my ego, but at the same time, you said there's sometimes where we have to take a stand.
Yeah.
But it's not gonna be based on I'm right, you're wrong.
Exactly, yeah. What is best for...
Yeah.
Situation for the person. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Devin.
How do you recover from acting unwisely?
Yeah, it will take work. Yeah, from acting unwisely or behaving unwisely, it's going to take work, right? Sometimes when you do that, you hurt your own credibility. Maybe you hurt people involved, right? It could be your spouse, your family, a church. You hurt the kingdom or the testimony of it or whatever, fill in the blank. So it's going to take work. You're going to have to rebuild. And rebuilding means you're going to have to behave wisely, right? And that's just going to take some time. And so that's just simply part of it. But God, right, like I said, he gets supernaturally involved. That's the beauty of this, is God delights in men who behave wisely. He'll help the man who behaves wisely. And that's what we see in our text. Very good. Good questions. I want to just encourage you guys, continue to pray for your pastor, Pastor Greg. And just let's, like I said last week, continue to be the Aaron and her holding him up right now. You know, in his loss, he has also had to minister to a lot of people in their loss. And we just need to keep him in prayer. In that way, strength, peace, right? And let's just believe God, you know, for our fellowship as a whole. I'm confident that we're going to begin to see a major shift, specifically in the arena of fruitfulness. And really just, you know, we're going to see growth. And it may not be, all right, we grew by 100 in, you know, 1 week, but the people we are praying with are going to begin to lock in. And I'm believing God for that. And that's going to be true here. And that's going to be true throughout the fellowship. And believing God for growth, fruitfulness. And so let's pray and believe God that way. And just encourage you guys, stay on course, stay on track. Man, there's work yet to be done. And I believe God is going to help us greatly in this next season. So with that, why don't we give God praise this morning? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. God, I praise you and I thank you for your grace, your power, and your authority. God, strengthen our pastor, Lord. Give him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. God bless you guys. Thank you.